RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Federation of Indian Chambers of Commerce and Industry appreciate Indonesia's leadership in IORA. With an easy management of visa extension in Egypt, Indonesian students take advantage of the collective visa program. And now the news in detail. Indonesia has handed over the leadership of Indian Ocean Rim Association IORA to South Africa at the IORA Ministerial Conference in South Africa last October. Various important achievements have been made by Indonesia during its leadership period at IORA. In a meeting between the Federation of Indian Chambers of Commerce and Industry, FICCI, and the representative of journalists from IORA member countries in New Delhi, India, on Tuesday, 14 of November, FICCI appreciated Indonesia's leadership in IORA. Ajay Mutreja, chair of the FICCI Task Force on Blue Economy, said Indonesia succeeded not only in organizing the first IORA summit, but also in formulating the vision for the future of IORA.
But I think thanks to the incredible, innovative and visionary leadership of Indonesia, and as a result, as we all know, Jakarta produced a package of very meaningful documents. You have been able to assess for yourself the long-term significance of Jakarta Concord, the plan of action, and the declaration which was issued on radicalization, etc.
Ajay Mutreja further explained that FICCI's business community is very active and committed in advancing ideas that have been formulated in Jakarta, which is related to the empowerment of women, blue economy, good governance, and democratic culture. IORA, or Indian Ocean Rim Association, comprises of 21 countries. The year 2017 becomes an important year for the IORA. This year, the IORA is 20 years old and the IORA summit was held for the first time. A collective visa as a facility for visa extension management from the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Egypt is still used by Indonesian students. The first Secretary of Protocol and Consular of the Indonesian Embassy, Nini Rahayu, said the collective visa facility is to facilitate students in managing their visa extension. Nini explained as many as 20 to 30 students use the facility every week. Meanwhile, the collective visa facility has been started since 2012 ago. The students are charged 90 Egyptian pounds or 70,000 rupiah to get the visa extension for a resident permit of 1 year. In the meantime, the collective visa team, which directly administers the extension of residence permit in Egypt, consisted of 9 senior students and representative of Indonesian consular in Egypt.
Setelah ada inisiatif ini, pihak imigrasi itu setuju kalau yang urus semua.
After this initiative, the immigration authorities agreed that the authority which handling the process of ICAMA or resident permit is Indonesian embassy or KBRI as a representative who take care of it. It also depends on the administration of Egypt since it takes the authorization of national security whether it needs at least a week, a month, 3 or 4 months. We cannot intervene it. We just simplify the management so the student do not need to quit from early hours. On the other hand, Nini Rahayu said the regulation of resident permit by the Egyptian authorities to foreign national should be a serious concern of Indonesian citizen and Indonesian student. According to Nini, especially for those who exceeded the deadline have immediately to take care of the extension. Meanwhile, the Egyptian National Security has conveyed to the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo to inform the Indonesian citizen and student to always carry their passport or other self-documents when outdoors activities. The Egyptian government periodically extend the emergency status every 3 months from October to December 2017. Diversity is the core for Indonesia to make important breakthrough in order to keep unity of a number of national elements. It was said by social researchers of the Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, Aulia Huda, to Voice of Indonesia, after National Seminar of Multiculturalism Dialectics with Nationalism at Auditorium of LIPI in Jakarta on Tuesday, 14 of November. She further said young generation will be the main pillar in the future to continue the national struggle in the development of world technology world.
Generasi mudanya ini kan juga tidak bisa langsung dianggap sebagai kelompok yang homogen.
Young generation cannot be assumed as a homogeneous group. It means the young generation is also heterogeneous. They could come from X or Y generation, certain social and economic status. There is a gap. Actually, the millennial generation is in the urban middle class. We assume that they have literacy, they are connected to digital technology, they initiated movements which begins in cities and spread to villages.
Meanwhile, head of Center for Society and Culture Research of LIPI, Sri Sunarti Purwaningsi, said maintaining the unity of Indonesia with various ethnic groups and cultures is not easy. Therefore, she said maintaining unity is important in creating conducive climate for materializing welfare for people. Brawijaya University in Malang, East Java, plans to hold a 3-in-1 lecture program which involving 3 lecturers in 1 subject. One of the 3 lecturers who will teach the subject will be brought from abroad. This was stated by the rector of Brawijaya University, Muhammad Bisri, on Tuesday, 14 of November in Malang.
Program 3-in-1 adalah nanti satu mata kuliah akan diajar
The 3-in-1 program is a subject which will be taught by 3 lecturers, 1 lecturer from abroad, 1 lecturer of practitioner, and a lecturer from the internal. We will bring about 100 lecturers from abroad for 100 subjects. Besides taking from overseas, we also will send the lecturers abroad. Muhammad Bisri moreover added that lecturers who will be brought to Brawijaya University are not only lecturers from developed countries. The university will also invite lecturers from developing countries, especially from countries that joining with Indonesia in the South-South cooperation. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government is preparing incentive for local and foreign manufacturers to develop low-cost emission vehicles, or LCEFs, in a bid to push Indonesia's competitiveness on the international level and minimize the country's dependency on fossil fuels. Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto said in a recent statement that the government only needs to synchronize the incentive draft with the Indonesian Ministry of Finance and hopefully can be completed by the end of this year. Minister Erlangga said that the incentive will be gradually adjusted to the manufacturer's commitment to developing the LCEF unit. Minister Erlangga Hartarto also said that his ministry encourages domestic automotive manufacturers that actively conduct research and development to find alternative renewable energy sources for vehicles by using palm oil or seaweed commodities. Aside from boosting development and competitiveness for local manufacturers, the incentives are also expected to minimize the price of LCEFs on the market. British Ambassador to Indonesia Muazzam Malik will visit the provinces of Papua and West Papua on November 16 to follow up on several areas of cooperation between the governments of UK and Indonesia. The activities are part of the regular visit to several provinces of Indonesia, as stated in a press release received by Antara News Agency on Tuesday, 14 of November. In West Papuan Province, Malik will visit the cities of Sorong and Manokwari. He will thereafter visit Jayapura City in Papua Province. During the visit, he will meet local and provincial level partners and stakeholders, including business people, communities, and academics. Malik said this will be his third visit to the Papua region since he started serving as an ambassador. His visit aimed to discuss issues of mutual interest, including climate change, education, and development. He also expressed interest in returning to the University of Papua in Manokwari City and encouraged Papuan students to continue their studies in the United Kingdom, including through the United Kingdom scholarship scheme of Chevening. He said that the UK supports the territorial integrity and sovereignty of the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. The last item. With yet another shooting incident recorded on Tuesday, November 14, in Mimika, Papua, where gunmen are still besieging two villages, it is clear that provocateurs want to disturb the peace in the region, a minister said. On Tuesday morning, armed men opened fire on a vehicle owned by Freeport Indonesia, a subsidiary of U.S. mining giant Freeport, McMoran, injuring one person, state news agency Antara reported. The wounded Freeport employee was taken to a hospital in Tembagapura district. According to Defense Minister Ria Mizar Triakudu, the recent series of shootings in Papua was orchestrated by groups wanting to hinder President Joko Widodo's infrastructure works in the province. He said, as quoted by Suara Pembaruan, that there must be provocateurs. Papua Police issued a wanted list of 21 men from the armed group that cut access to 1,300 people in Banti and Kimberley villages in Tembagapura last week. Police believe the militants are led by Sabinus Wecker. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Federation of Indian Chambers of Commerce and Industry appreciate Indonesia's leadership in Ayora. With an easy management of visa extension in Egypt, Indonesian students take advantage of the collective visa program. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with our commentary for today, entitling Lebanon, a new disputing area. The never-ending Middle East conflict seems to be more complicated with conflict in Lebanon. After a long time, the country experienced calm period. Lebanon is entering a turbulent time. Two countries with strong influence in Lebanon, Saudi Arabia and Iran, are at odds with Lebanon's internal affairs. The peak of the tension was an announcement of resignation of Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri on November 4th via video recording from Saudi Arabia. Saudi's Foreign Minister
Adel Al-Jubeir said Friday that Lebanon is an enemy if Hezbollah is still entrenched in the country's government. Hezbollah, a Shiite faction in Lebanon, is considered an extension of Tehran's hands in Lebanon. Saudi has urged its citizens to leave Lebanon. Saudi allies in the Gulf also follow Saudi's steps. Hariri himself is still in Saudi and plans to return to Lebanon. Hariri will consider cancelling his resignation on condition of honor over Lebanese sovereignty. It is not a difficult term if Saudi and Iran want to do it for the benefit of Lebanon. Lebanese President Michael Aoun has not officially accepted the resignation of Saad Hariri. Lebanon is a land in the Arab region with various religions. The country's top administration rulers are divided by Christians and Muslims. The president is Christian, the prime minister is Sunni Muslim, and the parliament speaker is Shiite Muslim. We all hope that the crisis in Lebanon will not create a new armed conflict in the region. We all hope that the parties standing behind each faction in Lebanon did not make the situation more difficult. It is the Lebanese leaders themselves who should solve the problems between them, without asking foreign interference, so that peace in Lebanon can be maintained. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We initiate the segment of Today in History with an event of Linggarjati Agreement, which occurred on November 15, 1946. The Linggarjati Agreement was an agreement between Indonesia and the Netherlands which began on October 22, 1946. The negotiations was held in Linggarjati, West Java. The Indonesian delegation was led by Sutan Syahrir and the Dutch delegation was led by Wim Chamberhoen. The result of the negotiations stated that the Dutch recognized the power of the Republic of Indonesia in Java, Sumatra, and Madura. Both sides agreed to form the United States of Republic of Indonesia or Republik Indonesia Serikat. The Linggarjati Agreement became the first international treaty agreed by Indonesia and the Netherlands. This agreement became the basis for subsequent agreements between the two countries. Now we turn to another event which occurred on November 15, 1978, the plane crash carrying Indonesian Hajj pilgrims in Colombo, Sri Lanka. An aircraft carrying 249 South Kalimantan pilgrims from Jeddah to Indonesia crashed at Katunayake Airport, Colombo, Sri Lanka. A total of 175 passengers were killed in the accident. The plane, which the flight number LL001TFFLA, landed in a coconut farm 4 kilometers outside Katunayake Airport, clearing more than 200 coconut trees. The plane was originally going to fill up the fuel before continuing the flight to Surabaya, East Java. The official report of the Sri Lankan authorities said that the possible cause of the crash was that the crews failed to follow the approach procedure to the runway. Now the last event of the National Council of Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, formally declared Palestinian independence on November 15, 1988. The Palestinian Declaration of Independence was declared on November 15, 1988 in Algiers, Algeria. The Arab League Summit in 1974 appointed the PLO as the sole legitimate representative of the Palestinian people and reaffirmed their right to establish an orderly state of independence. The PLO has had observer stages at the United Nations as a non-state entity since November 22, 1974, which grants the right to speak at the UN General Assembly but has no voting rights. After the Declaration of Independence, the UN General Assembly formally recognized the proclamation and chose to use the Palestinian designation instead of the Palestine Liberation Organization when referring to the permanent observers of Palestine. In the decision, the PLO did not participate in the UN in its capacity as a Palestinian state government. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Voice Green. Today we'll talk about Al Gore appreciates Indonesian peace restoration. Former Vice President of the United States, Al Gore, has appreciated effort to resolve forest and peatland issues that becomes the commitment of Indonesian government as part of effort to control greenhouse gas emissions. During his visit to the Indonesian Pavilion at the 23rd Climate Change Conference of Parties in Bonn, Germany, on Friday, November 10, Al Gore said, Indonesia is clearly one of the most important countries in the world that is also affected by climate change from rise of sea level and the devastation of the agricultural subsystem. Al Gore also said, the Indonesian government's commitment is realized in the utilization of renewable energy and continue to solve the problem of forest and peatland. The 2007 Nobel Prize winner said that he is glad to get a chance to continue the cooperation with the climate leaders and individuals of Indonesia to seek the solution of climate change. The climate leader is termed of environment activists who participated in the training who were initiated by Al Gore through the Climate Reality Project. Al Gore also invited the international community to support climate reality projects in Indonesia. So far, there are 300 Indonesians as climate leaders who participate training and working hard for climate change control action. Al Gore, who is currently known as a climate change activist, has sought to communicate climate change through various forums. He took the ways through a movie, An Inconvenient Truth, produced in 2007, and the Inconvenient sequel, Truth to Power, which was launched this year. Senior Advisor of Climate Change of Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs, Nurmala Kartini Syahrir, presented several plans from the Indonesian Climate Reality Project to support the film. Nurmala said, in Indonesia, the screening of the film will be done in cooperation with the private sector, NGOs, and universities. It was targeted in the next 6 months. The film can reach 10,000 spectators in major cities throughout Indonesia. Meanwhile, the manager of the Climate Reality Project Indonesia, Amanda Katili Nyode, hoped that the series of film screenings can encourage people to act according to their ability to control the climate change. That was the Voice Green.
Here is our news in brief. Indonesia has handed over the leadership of Indian Ocean Rim Association, IORA, to South Africa at the IORA Ministerial Conference in South Africa last October. A collective visa as a facility for visa extension management from the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Egypt, is still used by Indonesian students. Diversity is the core for Indonesia to make important breakthrough in order to keep unity of a number of national elements. Brawijaya University in Malang, East Java, plans to hold a 3-in-1 lecture program involving 3 lecturers in 1 subject. The Indonesian government is preparing incentive for local and foreign manufacturers to develop low-cost emission vehicles or LCEFs in a bid to push Indonesia's competitiveness on the international level and minimize the country's dependency on fossil fuels. British Ambassador to Indonesia Muazzam Malik will visit the provinces of Papua and West Papua on November 16 to follow up on several areas of cooperation between the governments of UK and Indonesia. And the last item, with yet another shooting incident recorded on Tuesday, November 14, in Mimika, Papua, where gunmen are still besieging two villages, it is clear that provocateurs want to disturb the peace in the region, a minister said. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Hawang Cave in Maluku. Stay tuned. Listeners, the beauty of nature in Maluku presents not only beach, but also a lot of hidden beautiful nature in the province, such as Key Islands in southeast Maluku. There is amazing beautiful nature, namely Hawang Cave. Listeners, Hawang Cave is one of tourism objects in Indonesia, which has its own attraction. The water which flows in the cave is directly connected with Efu Water Spring through underwater river. Efu Water Spring is the biggest water spring on Key Islands. The water is decorated with stalagmite rocks which appear from the bottom of the cave, and this makes the scenery more beautiful. Besides, stalactite rocks which hang from the cave ceiling also adds the exoticism of the cave. In the cave, there is two holes with a distance 15 meters. For diving lovers, the cave will become a good spot to dive the pool of the cave and enter the two holes of the cave which penetrate each other. Listeners, there is a legend about Hawang Cave which is believed by local people. The local people believe that in the past there was a man who hunted wild boar along with two dogs. During the hunting, suddenly the boar disappeared when entering into Hawang Cave. Because of fatigue and thirst when hunting, the man drank the cave water which tasted very bitter at the time. He felt angry and disappointed. The hunter uttered dirty words which affected himself, and his two dogs were cursed to be rocks. Until now, the rocks which have shape of the hunter holding spear and two dogs can be seen in the cave. Listeners, Hawang Cave is located at Litfuan Village, Key Islands in southeast Maluku. To visit this tourism object from Langur Terminal, tourists can take public transportation or rent a car to Litfuan with the distance 15 kilometers. During touring at Hawang Cave, we suggest you to bring your own food and beverage because there is no stall. At the place, tourists must obey the rules, such as not to say dirty words inside the cave. A woman who menstruates is prohibited to swim in the cave. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. We'll be right back.
to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is berselancar, or in English, surfing, stagnant. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Berselancar. Berselancar in English, surfing. Liburan. Liburan, holiday. Suka. Suka, to like. Di mana? Di mana, where? Pantai, pantai, beach. Papan selancar, surfing board. Mempunyai, mempunyai, to have. Menyewa, menyewa, to rent. Harga, harga, price. Mahal, mahal, expensive. Baiklah, baiklah, all right. Besok, besok, tomorrow. Next is a conversation about berselancar, or in English, surfing. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Andy and Rudy. Andy, apa yang kamu lakukan pada saat liburan, Rudy? Apa yang kamu lakukan pada saat liburan, Rudy? In English, what are you doing on a vacation, Rudy? Rudy, saya suka menghabiskan liburan dengan bermain selancar. Saya suka menghabiskan liburan dengan bermain selancar. In English, I usually spend the vacation by surfing. Andy, di mana? Di mana? In English, where? Rudy, di pantai Kuta Bali. Di pantai Kuta Bali. In English, in Kuta Beach, Bali. Andy, kamu punya papan selancar sendiri, Rudy? Kamu punya papan selancar sendiri, Rudy? In English, do you have your own surfing board, Rudy? Rudy, saya tidak punya, tapi kita bisa menyewa. Saya tidak punya, tapi kita bisa menyewa. In English, I do not have the surfing board, but we can rent it. Andy, saya pikir kamu punya. Saya pikir kamu punya. In English, I think you have it. Rudy, tidak, papan selancar harganya mahal. Tidak, papan selancar harganya mahal. In English, no, because the surfing board is expensive. Andy, baiklah, besok kita berselancar bersama. Baiklah, besok kita berselancar bersama. In English, all right, we go to surfing together tomorrow. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present the songs from Naf Band. Let's listen to the first song entitled Akhirnya Ku Menemukanmu by Naf Band. Happy listening.
ini ingin berlabuh. Ku berharap engkau lah jawaban segala risau hatiku, dan biarkan diriku mencintaimu hingga ujung usiaku. Jika nanti ku sanding dirimu miliki aku dengan segala kelemahanku, dan bila nanti engkau di sampingku, jangan pernah mencintaiku. Akhirnya ku menemukanmu, saat hati ini mulai cintaimu hingga ujung usiaku.
The song entitled Akhirnya Ku Menemukanmu by Nuff Dance, which was formed in Bandung, West Java in 1998. Nuff's early formats consist of four personnel: Adi the vocalist, Dedi the guitarist, Odi bassist, and Hilal the drummer. Until 2003, Nuff actually had released three albums entitled Terlahir, Terbang Tinggi, and Nuff. However, the name of Nuff Band began to know publicly in 2006 through the album Isyarat Hati. Two main songs in the album, Kau Masih Kekasihku and Akhirnya Ku Menemukanmu, successfully occupied and managed the Indonesian music world. Not only get a lot of fans, Nuff also directly accepted the offer to make the original soundtrack of the movie Chocolate Strawberry in 2007. The strong lyrics and arrangements become the eminence of Nuff. For example, the two songs of Nuff, Kau Masih Kekasihku and Akhirnya Ku Menemukanmu, are the mellow songs, but the arrangements is able to steal the emotions of the listeners strongly. Moreover, Adi's vocal character is very strong and sounded really appreciate every lyrics, increasing the quality of the songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Kau Masih Kekasihku. Happy listening.
Jauh di lubuk hatiku masih terukir namamu. Jauh di dasar jiwaku, engkau masih kekasihku. Tak bisa ku tahan laju angin untuk semua kenangan yang berlalu hembuskan sepi. Merobek hati, meski raga ini tak lagi milikmu, namun di dalam hatiku sungguh engkau hidup entah sampai kapan. Ku tahankan rasa cinta ini jauh di lubuk hatiku, masih terukir namamu. Jauh di dasar jiwaku, engkau masih kekasihku. Dan ku berharap semua ini bukanlah kekeliruan seperti yang kukira seumur hidupku. Akan menjadi doa untukmu jauh di lubuk hatiku. Masih terukir namamu, masih terukir namamu. Jauh di dasar jiwaku, engkau masih kekasihku. Masih kekasihku. Andai saja waktu bisa terulang kembali, akan ku serahkan hidupku di sisimu. Namun ku tahu itu takkan mungkin terjadi. Rasa ini menyiksaku, sungguh-sungguh menyiksaku.
That was the song Kau Masih Kekasihku by Naf Band. Most of the songs of Naf Band is dominantly done by Adi, the vocalist. However, the condition did not stop Adi to leave the band in 2010. Naf was immediately looking for Adi's replacement. In 2011, a music contestant named Arda was chosen to replace Adi as the vocalist. Shortly, Dedi, the guitarist, also resigned in 2012. With the rest four personnel, Naf Band then changed. The music feels lighter. The change is also noticeable by the band's fans, who expressed in various comments in the social media. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kenalkan Aku Pada Temanmu and A-A, A-A-A. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Kenalkan aku pada temanmu, siapa tahu bisa obati luka lama yang tak sembuh-sembuh. Tak pasti, kenalkanlah aku. Aku tak tahu arah jalanku untuk melupakan kenangan yang dulu. Aku tak tahu siapa jodohku. Carikan aku pengganti masa lalu. Kenalkan aku pada temanmu. Jodoh.
Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green.
Kamu datang di saat tepat. Bebaskan jiwa yang terjerat dari mantan-mantan yang gila. Lalu kamu hadirkan cinta. Kamu jawaban. Kasih pujaan. Kamu datang di saat tepat, saat hati mulai sekarat. Dan tak percaya lagi cinta. Kamu patahkan itu semua. Harta dunia masih bisa ku cari, tapi kamu tak tahu lagi. Kamu jawaban. Kasih pujaan. Kamu jawaban. Kasih pujaan. Kamu jawaban. Kasih pujaan.
Takkan pernah ada wanita yang bisa
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.